It's great to be here and a beautiful day, and it's something else, I tell you right now. Are there any announcements that we need to be aware of? Other than the choir's not behind me? And yes, go ahead.
I just want to let everyone know I got a text from Jean Moore and her husband Bob, which you know was had COVID into the lungs, and he was on oxygen 24/7. Well, the last week, prayers have been answered. He's still on oxygen, but he can now do a lot of things without the oxygen. So she wanted me to pass on, thank you so much for prayer.
Yeah. I likewise got a chance to talk to her, and she was thankful that things were going as good as they were. So that's good to know. So I did get to say hello and so forth. Well, no other announcements or anything, be sure and sign the register. See, about forgot that. Not used to this, so. And we've got a small group today. We're going to have to start inviting our neighbors and our friends and say, come on down. This morning, I had a good chance to, I had an extra hour this morning, so I was out there, I fed the birds, and I was watching the birds, and it was amazing. It takes one or two birds to come. And then just next thing you know, everybody's there. And the more that you're there, then the more that come. So let's get on the bird fever, I guess, or whatever, and get them on in here. All right. Well, let's look at the unison reading. Let's go for it. Take your bulletin. And it says, fear not, for I am with you.
Everyone, as you know, I'm not John, okay? So, and also thank you for your prayers for my husband Bob, because he is doing better. He can't breathe very well, but at least he's starting to obey me, which is really so anyway, if you would stand, let's begin our worship with praise to God, which is my favorite part here. And so if you will just do the inside of your bulletin, we'll do the call to worship, which is give thanks. It's appropriate November.
Give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks.
Let us pray. Lord, we do thank you for the many blessings. We thank you for the opportunities that you have given us. Help us now as we look to you for our message this morning, and be with us, open our hearts so we will receive your message that you have for us. We pray for those that are not here today, and pray that they will be back next Sunday. And Lord, we do thank you again and just praise your name, Lord. And forgive us of our sins. For this we ask in thy Son's name. Amen.
All right, if you will remain standing and turn into your hymnal to number 36, Immortal, Invisible.
If you'll turn in your bulletins and look at your shorter catechism, we're still up now to number 9. And I'll read the question and you give the answer. Which is the ninth commandment?
The ninth commandment is, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor.
And question 77, what is required of the ninth commandment? And now we come to the most important one. Another important part of our worship is our tithes and offerings. And I'm reading from Hebrews, the 13th chapter. Do not neglect to do good and share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. At this time, our ushers will come forward.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord, we do thank you for these gifts and the givers. Lord, be with them and multiply them. And Lord, we again thank you for the many blessings. And now this is a portion of us to turn around and give back to thee. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, as we come together in the name of our Lord and Savior, it's our opportunity to lift up those who in our congregation and our loved ones who are in need. And so this morning, we do want to remember to pray for our music director, John Wood, who's not feeling well this morning, and we want to pray for God's hand to be on him. We also want to pray for Bob Penland, our worship leader. Looks like we're being picked off one by one here. But we want to pray for Bob Penland, that he would be strengthened. Also for Keith Carter's aunt, who has gone into hospice. We prayed for her on Wednesday night. We want to pray for Keith's aunt today. And, of course, for the other special needs that we have. So let's bow as we come to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are thankful and grateful that we have a living and almighty God that we bow before. And Lord, we ask and pray that your Holy Spirit might be here this morning to lead us into a deeper relationship with you and with one another. And Father, we call upon your name this day. We call upon you for our nation, for the United States of America. And Lord, our hearts are heavy as we see a nation that's divided. And Lord, we would love more than anything to be unified once again under the name of Jesus Christ, that we would truly be one nation under God. And Lord, we know it's only by your hand that this is possible. So we call upon you, even as you've promised that if we are faithful and call upon your name, that you'll hear our prayer and answer from heaven. And so, Lord, we cry out to you in this hour and ask you to restore our nation, to bring us back together. And Lord, our communities, for the Asheville community, that the name of Jesus Christ might be lifted up. And Lord, we ask that you would grant us a revival of heart, that Lord, we might truly, from the heart, worship you, and that we would love one another. Our Father, we pray for this congregation, and Lord, for the needs that are represented here. And Lord, we ask that your healing hand might reach out and touch John Wood, even in this moment, Lord, that you would physically touch him and heal him from this distress that he's in. And also for Bob Penland, that you would strengthen him and give him the healing that he requires and needs in this moment. Lord, for Keith's aunt, we ask that you would surround her with your loving care. And if this is her time, that you would take her to be with you, we ask that it might be so gently. Father, for Tom and Catherine Gibson, we ask, Lord, that you would surround them with your loving care and heal them and keep them. And Father, for those here in our congregation who are traveling this weekend, who are not here with us, Lord, we ask that you would grant protection and mercy to them as they travel and bring them back home safely. And Lord, again, we cry out to you and call upon you that you would surround us with your loving care and with your protection. And Lord, we pray that as a pestilence threatens us and as this COVID-19 is feared all over this nation, that we might know that your hand is upon us, that you have held us close to you even through all these months, and that you've protected us from this evil. So, Lord, I ask and pray that you'd continue to protect us as your people, that you would encourage us and strengthen us by your hand. For we pray these things in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
You would now please stand, take your hymnal, number 403, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. What a truth, and what a promise.
Lord, have his spirit washed in his blood.
Please turn with me, if you would, to our scripture reading for this morning. And this is found in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 12, and I'm reading verses 22 to 31. This is Luke 12, reading verses 22 to 31, and hear now the word of God. And he said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, they neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you're not able to do this as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you." And may God add to our understanding this portion from his holy word. Some of you may remember years back, there was a movie that came out by the name of High Anxiety. And High Anxiety was a satire. It was put on by Mel Brooks, and he had quite a cast of comedians that were with him there. Harvey Korman, Cloris Leachman, there were some others that were well-known comedians. And the whole movie was a satire, basically, on psychiatry and about people having to go to the psychiatrist because of their state of high anxiety. But you know, actually, there is a condition by that name, and it's called high anxiety or high functioning anxiety, and it's something that's very real. It's a condition that results from a long exposure to stressful situations. And in this problem, in this dilemma that people face, this high anxiety, people seem to be okay on the outside. They function fairly normally. They do the things that they're required to do. But inside, they're experiencing anxiety disorder. And I want to just read a little bit of that. As far as I read an article that talked about this, I wanted to read some of the symptoms of this. It says, "People with high functioning anxiety are able to accomplish tasks and appear to function well in social situations, but internally, they're feeling all the same symptoms of anxiety disorder, including intense feelings of impending doom, fear, anxiety, rapid heart rate, and gastrointestinal distress." So even though they look fine on the outside and everybody looks at them and say, well, they certainly don't have problems. I mean, look at them. They're perfectly fine. But inside, they're being torn apart. Worse than just anxiety, this is a disorder that is especially difficult to deal with. We all know what happens with stress and how dangerous stress is to the individual. This anxiety comes out of that stress. And you know, we've been inundated with fear in our nation over COVID-19 and over everything that has produced over the past 2 years. And even though on the outside we may say, oh no, I'm coping, I'm doing fine, everything is all right. But inside we know that this bothers us. It hurts us inside. And as a result, we feel that churning whenever we hear the news or whenever we see something that we know is coming. And I mean, right now we're looking at new mask mandates. We're looking at vaccination mandates. We're looking at threats to those who refuse to comply with these mandates. And we look at all this and we wonder, well, when is all this going to end? When will this be over? And we have a fear of what's ahead because all of this has compounded certain situations. I mean, now we look at the news and it says that there's a break in our supply chain. And as a result, our stores are starting to show empty shelves. And that people are having problems getting what it is that they really want to get. In fact, if you notice this morning, your bulletin is not on the same paper as it's usually on. And that's because there was a shortage of the kind of paper that we normally use for our Sunday bulletins. It had to be special ordered and it hasn't come in. So it had to be printed on different paper. That's just a small consequence of what our nation is going through. But it's an indication of what may be ahead. 60 to 70 large boats outside the beaches of California lined up and they can't deliver their goods because there's no one to deliver them. And so it's making a break in the supply chain. And where's it going to end? Where's it going to end? We may be afraid of other issues, physical issues, financial issues. And we're looking at the future and we're thinking, well, what's the end result of all this? Where's all this heading? We're beginning to see the stages of high anxiety in the American public. Now, if you look around the world, you'll notice that it's not just in America. In fact, many nations are beyond where we are right now. Look at Israel. Very far beyond what we're dealing with right now as far as their shortages. And the question is, well, with all this happening, how are we supposed to respond as God's people, as Christians? Well, you know, when Jesus was speaking to his disciples, he said, you know, you need to be as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves when you're dealing with the situations of life. Be wise as serpents, but be harmless as doves. And I believe that what he's telling us to do is to evaluate and to look at these circumstances and not simply give in to the fear. But we need to be wise about this. I want to read that. This is in Matthew chapter 10, verses 16 to 19. This is when Jesus was sending out his disciples into a world that he knew was opposed to them and was critical of them. Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 16, he says this, "Behold, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpent and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they'll deliver you over to courts and they'll flog you in their synagogues. And you'll be dragged before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. And when they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour." Jesus was telling his disciples, there's a time coming when you will be persecuted because you don't comply, because you don't give in. That's why he was saying, be wise as serpents, be crafty enough to be able to look beyond the obvious, look beyond what you're being told, and look at the source, look at what's actually happening in life before you just accept it. You know, the Apostle Paul commended a group called the Bereans because they were not willing to take what he said at face value, but they went a step further. It says this is in Acts chapter 17, verses 10 and 11. And it says, "The brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the Jewish synagogue. Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. And many of them therefore believed." Well, what was Paul doing? He was commending those that didn't just simply take everything at face value, but searched it out. They read into it. They looked. They made sure that what was being told was the truth. You see, I believe that as Christians, as believers, we have the same responsibility to just sit in front of a television set and have people pour this nonsense into our brains is not honoring to God. He's given us a mind that we should be able to research these things, search them out, and find out if it's true or not. And if it is true, by all means, obey it. Give into it. If it is not true, stand up against it. You do realize that a mandate is not a law. You do realize that when somebody says there's a mandate to do such and such, you're not required by law to do it. At best, it's a suggestion. It doesn't matter where it comes from. We live in a country that has a constitution that provides protection for us through our court system, through our legislature. The legislature alone has the right to make laws that bind the American public. No one else does. They can make mandates, they can make suggestions, they can make comments, they can do whatever they want, but it's not binding on the American public. Now, I believe that as God's people, we have to take that at heart. And instead of just buying everything that we're being told, look into it. Find out about it. You know, how do we deal with the stress that comes out of all that? I don't think there's a person here that wants to be rebellious against our government or rebellious against authorities. That's not our heart. But neither is it our heart to blindly follow. Last week, we talked about the Reformation and how it took individuals of courage to stand up against the powers that were, especially in the Roman Catholic Church, and especially men like Luther who said, "Here I stand, I can do no other." And we honor those men because of their courage. We honor our forefathers that participated in the American Revolution because they were not willing to be slaves. And they stood up. Well, every so many generations, it takes others standing up for that same freedom. And now it's our turn. It's our turn to stand up for the truth, to stand up for what God is proclaiming here in this nation. This nation came together not by men, it came together by the will of God. And He gave us certain responsibilities to maintain that freedom so that the Word of God could continue to be spread. And now there are those that say, you cannot worship. If you worship, we'll put you in jail. How dare they? But it produces stress, produces anxiety. It's like, well, what's going to happen as a result of this? My wife keeps telling me, better watch what you say, you're going to end up in jail. And that's producing stress in her. But Jesus said this. He said, don't be anxious. Don't be anxious. The passage that we read this morning comes out of the Sermon on the Mount. Most of you know that. We also see that in Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus said almost the very same thing, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Sermon on the Mount. And those who were following Jesus had many reasons to fear, not only from the Romans who hated Christianity and who hated those who followed Christ, but also from the Jews, the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And so if somebody was a member of a synagogue and it was found out that they were going to these meetings that Jesus was holding, they were kicked out of the synagogue. And they were fearful over that. They were fearful of the reprisal of the Roman government and what would happen if they followed after Jesus. And as Jesus gathered them together, he said, "Don't be anxious about these things. Don't be fearful about these things." You know, in three times in this passage that we read this morning, we can see Jesus addressing this issue of anxiety. First in verse 22, and he says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life." Don't be, well, what is this anxiety that he's talking about here? Well, it comes from two Greek words, the word marizo and the word nous. And it's literally the word merimnao, and what it means is the dividing of the mind. Marizo means to separate or divide. Nous is mind. So it means the pulling apart of your minds. And that's what happens when you become anxious. You're feeling that, do I need to do this? No, I need to do that. No, and you're being pulled apart, separated. That's anxiety. And that anxiety produces stress. And that stress has a terrible effect on your physical body. You're under pressure at that point. You don't want to deal with it, but it's there. Three different times he says, don't be anxious about your life. In verse 25, he says this, "And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life?" And he's addressing different areas here. In verse 26, he says this, "If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest?" So the first thing he talks about is being anxious about your life. And it's interesting because he prefaces this with the word therefore. Now therefore, and what that basically means is that there's an answer to it. That there's another side to the issue. It means that when he talks about therefore, it means that our peace in Christ is not simply a mind over matter. Like those shirts that say believe or say peace. It's like, well, what's the source of all this? What's the source of your belief? What's the source of your trust? Just trust. Trust what? But Jesus is saying, you trust our Almighty Father, our Almighty Lord. It's not just a mind over matter. Everything is based on God's promise to his people. So what does he tell us not to be anxious about? First of all, he says, don't be anxious about your life, about what you should eat, about what you should drink. Well, what's one of the sources of anxiety right now? It's the supply chain. It's the fact that you go into a grocery store and there are empty shelves. And we've got Christmas coming. Well, we've got Thanksgiving before Christmas. What about if we don't have enough pumpkin on the shelf to make pies? That's anxiety right there. How about if there aren't any turkeys? We've heard there's going to be a shortage of turkeys this year. What if we can't have turkey for Thanksgiving? Guess we'll have to have chicken. I don't know. Shelves are growing empty. That's a cause for stress, anxiety. And the result is the people are obsessed with trying to gather up enough, stockpile in the event that something goes wrong. Because we all went through the shortage of toilet paper, and you know how terrible that is. So we got to figure out something there. Jesus says, don't be anxious about what you should eat, about what you should drink. He also says, don't be anxious about your bodies, about what you put on. Now, it's interesting. The word that's used here is the word raiment. And raiment had a twofold meaning. It meant your clothing, but it also meant your housing, about where you live. And it's easy to get stressed out about things like that. About, well, what's going to happen in the future? My taxes are going up higher. I don't know if I can afford it much longer. We're on a fixed income. Are we going to have to sell out? What are we supposed to do, Lord? It's anxiety. The Lord says, don't worry about that. And he gives the example of the ravens, the birds of the air. And he says, our Heavenly Father provides for them. They don't have barns. They don't store up food. And yet my Heavenly Father provides for them constantly. And what about our bodies, our clothing? And he talks about the lilies of the field and how beautiful they are. And the Father provides for them, takes care of them. And so then Jesus asks the very logical question when he says, is not life more than this? Is this what we live for? Is just so that we'll have enough to eat, we'll have a place to live? Is that what life is all about? And of course, the obvious answer is no, it's not. Verse 23, he says this, for life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. See, God has a greater plan than simply to provide for our needs. If you could put it in human terms, if I was the owner of a company, and it was a large company, and I wanted to expand, let's say I wanted to set up another store in Silva. And so I would take one of my employees, and I would say, now, I want you to leave here in Asheville, and I want you to set up a business in Silva and start selling the same product that we're selling here. He says, all right. So they go to Silva, and they're going to say, well, I need to rent a building. And so as the business owner, I say, well, I'll send you the money for that. Well, we need office furniture. Okay, well, I'll make sure. Well, we need product. Well, we need this. Is it up to that individual to provide for all that? No. As the business owner, it's my responsibility. And that's what Jesus was communicating. He was saying, if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all of these things will be provided for you. If you put me first and my will first and my desire first, I'm going to foot the bill. I'll provide for you. I'll make sure that you have enough. Now, it doesn't always mean you've got top of the line, but it'll always be enough and it'll be adequate. And that's what God was proclaiming. That's what Jesus was telling those who were following after him. Isn't life more than just this? Do you eat to live or do you live to eat? Well, of course, we eat to live, but what is life? It's glorifying our Heavenly Father. It's surrendering ourselves to him because we belong to him. He purchased us with a price. You know, Jesus says, all the nations on earth are clamoring for the same things that you're worried about. They're all looking for that. He says this. He says, and do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, and don't be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. See, it's interesting that the shortages that we face here in America are already being felt all around the world. We're not alone in this. And God knows that. And I honestly believe that as the God who provides, the Jehovah Jireh, as the God who provides, God not only knows our needs, but he's already in process of providing for them. He will take care of us. That's his promise. But he gives a caveat to that. He says, first of all, though, you've got to seek me first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all this will be added to you. You know, do you possibly think that maybe everything that we're going through as believers, as Christians here in the United States and around the world, all of this God is allowing as a test? He's testing our faith. It's easy to worship God when we're up on the mountain, and all of our needs are met. We've got plenty of gas for the car. Our larders are filled. Life is good, and it's easy to praise God. But what about when it's empty? You see, that's what the prophet Habakkuk talked about in Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 16 to 19. And he talked about those times when everything is gone. It's all gone. No cattle in the stalls, no fruit in the fields, no oil, no olives in the trees. It's all gone. That's the ultimate test, isn't it? When we're absolutely at the very bottom. And yet we can praise God. Because that's what Habakkuk did. He said, yet I will exult in the God of my salvation. Why? Because he knows God is faithful. And he knows no matter what the world tells you, no matter what CNN tells you, no matter what the newspapers say, God is faithful. And he will provide. And that's why Jesus says, don't be anxious. Don't be worried. Don't let your mind be divided over these things. Trust me. Put your faith in me. Seek my kingdom first, and all these things will be added to you. What a promise. What a promise. You know, we're also told in Peter, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, he says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so at the proper time, he may exalt you, casting all of your anxieties onto him, because he cares for you. Casting all of your anxieties. Well, let's see, what does that mean, all your anxieties? That means your concern about the future. That means your financial anxieties. That means your food and clothing and your car, your bank account, your everything. All of your anxieties, casting them onto him, because he cares for you. Paul said it this way. He said, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, one of the reasons that I share this with you is because we're entering in to a very stressful time of the year. The holiday season coming up on Thanksgiving, from Thanksgiving to Christmas. Of course, you know, the day after Thanksgiving is Black Friday, and that's always terribly stressful. But during that period of time, we experience the highest stress levels of the entire year. So I want to get a jump on it. I want to get a step ahead and just say, we need to prepare our hearts now. Doesn't matter what you hear on TV or what you're reading in magazines or newspapers, that doesn't matter at all, because those things are just forecasts. What really counts is what God says. And this is what he says. Don't be anxious. Don't enter into this high anxiety. In fact, I really believe that we should change it. Instead of high anxiety, we should be filled with high gratitude to God, because he loves us and he cares for us. Let's bow as we pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, again, we are thankful and grateful that you have protected us, you have watched over us, and more than that, you've provided for us. Lord, maybe we've worked hard, but it was by your hand that we received the blessing. So, Father, I pray that now when we're tempted to be fearful, when we're tempted to allow the concerns of this world to choke out our hope and our faith in you, I pray, Lord, that we would remember that you said, don't be anxious. Don't be afraid. Walk in strength and in power in the knowledge that I love you and I care for you. Help us, Lord, by your Spirit, to cast our anxieties onto you, knowing that you care. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
don't know how you do it, but every week you get better. Every week. Every week. Thank you. If you would, please stand and take your hymnal. We'll sing the first two verses of What a Friend We Have in Jesus, and then we'll have the benediction, and we'll do the third one then. So 164, What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
Please bow for the benediction. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and abide with those who love him. Amen.